Blog Talk Radio.
Alathia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omeenka 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you and say, come on in and have a seat. You're in the Care to Read Room, and the billboard reads, our topic for discussion is dealing with nature's remedies, and today we're going to be talking about the ecotourism. We're going to be talking about how we can go abroad and how we can actually see something different and have ourselves grounded in two different places. And aren't you happy to know that there are lots of places that we can explore and we can go to without having to lose our citizenship here in the United States? Now, we're going to be talking about those options that we have as teachers and also as exploratory people who are not teachers. And we want to alert some of those people who are not teachers to realize that you can take a tour and you can take a trip. Now, if there are people out there that are waiting to call in, I'd like for you to call in at that number, 646-478-0270. And come right in. Hold for a second. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Stay tuned.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let some mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should've walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, I need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, doubting, dying, begging, crying, somebody need to pray for me. Dear God, if you're listening, thought I was something, really something. In the end, who knew I'd end up with nothing? I was fronting, truly fronting. Girl, I really can't be mad, I had it coming. Guess if I was half the man I know I am, I would be so good that even Oprah be jealous of you. It's like that, yeah, like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her coming. But I blew it, really blew it. And lost the only girl I love. Dear God, if you're listening now, need you to do a thing for me. You see my baby, she done up and walked out. I need you to bring her back to me. I know that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Probably not priority. But dear God, if you're listening now, I'm down here, dying, begging, crying. Somebody ought to pray for me. I'm making you this promise right now. If you can do this one thing for me, I'll be the man that you want. I'll be the man that you need. Church every Sunday, prayers every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just bring my baby back to me. Need to do a thing for me. You see, my baby, she don't have to walk down. Oh, I knew that I was wrong, I was guilty of sin. Oh, yeah. But dear God, if you're listening now, daddy is dying, praying. Somebody ought to pray. My baby back to me. Oh God. Oh, 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 oh.
Alafia, once again, thanks for joining the Kira Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live here. I am your emperor. I'm here to serve you. I am your advocate. I'm also here to serve you. And once again, our topic for discussion this week and throughout the month has been talking about nature's remedies. And our topic for this evening is ecotourism in the West Africa area. And why did we choose that area, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's so undeveloped and it needs to be roughed out. And we as African Americans need to be over in the land of the plenty. We've got our foot planted, rooted here and grounded, but we need to move over a bit and see that we can stand in both places, because now our country is talking about the United States of Africa. That means that we've been invited to come in to be guests, and we've actually been offered some free land. I know it to be a fact because I have family members who've already gone over and claimed that land, but we're going to be talking to an expert about how we can utilize those tourisms and those people who work in the line of real estate to explore and to give us the information we need so we can properly be introduced to all of the ills that might beset us before we travel out of country. There's lots of things you have to do, not just getting a passport or running over there, jumping on a plane, but there are terrible things that you need to know about that you might be coming up against. You need to know that sometimes things happen and you have to be prepared for them. And then on the other hand, is it worth all of the effort? I say it is, because I started out the tour across the ocean, 9 hours across the ocean, for just 3.5 years I consented to. My 3.5 years turned out to be 5 years. Just hold on tight. I'll be able to tell you that story in just a little bit. I want to welcome our guest. He's out in the wing, and we want to say hello to our guest. So hold tight. And our guest comes to us by way of Chicago, by way of Indiana. He is an expert in the area of real estate. He has a wealth of knowledge as a historian, and he's a traveler, and he appears to be well-traveled because he's very, very knowledgeable about those opportunities as a tourist. And he is going to be able to explain that information. His name is Jim Brown, but we like to call him James Brown because the brother is really, really heavy in the area of ecology and understanding his culture and his heritage. I've been knowing Jim now for about a year, lost contact, came back in contact with this gentleman. He is also an educator, and that makes him an expert in his line of profession. He's a lecturer, and we brought him on today to help us out in knowing about the tourism area and what to look for, what are some of the things that we should know about when we go out to tour. So I'm going to bring him on now and have him do a better introduction of himself. Jim, okay. Are you out there?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm out here. You hear me?
Yes. Good evening,
you hear
Jim.
Me?
Yes,
good
I
evening.
Can hear
how you
loud
doing? Glad to be on the air. Are you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're on the air.
Very good.
You're in the atmosphere. Jim, will you tell the people
right.
a little bit about how you got involved with travel and how you got to become a real estate expert and a little bit about your background as a historian?
Okay, I'll give you a little background about myself. My background, I started and I went through traditional education. I got my, you know, went through the system, got my grammar school certificate, and I went to high school, and then I got to my college degree. But I've always been a student of history, of my culture, since I was 12, 11 years old. It started with me very, very young, being like 6 or 7, learning the Bible, and then I began to see a relationship that I was in the Bible already, in history. That got me channeled into the other history because I began to learn about black people all over the world and then begin to understand that my story is a story that goes on every day, not just here in the United States, but all around the world. And many black people don't understand how the significance of where they are around the world and what the significance they are in America, how they built this country and so forth. And so, you know, that's basically me in a nutshell about I also got a degree in education. I'm an educator. But I'm an educator of myself, and I'm always learning. So that's one thing.
Now, your well-traveled background and getting involved and going abroad and doing real estate, tell us a little bit more about how you got involved and in working with the Mediterranean and going abroad and doing real estate abroad. And how do you feel that about African Americans getting involved in buying property across the river?
Okay. As far as I know, I've been in real estate. I started in the mortgage business. I was a loan officer, and then I got into real estate investing in my local area, and learning how to you could control properties and to buy them, etc. I have had experience being traveled around the world. My parents took me. I was fortunate to go over across the seas to Europe. Been to Mexico. Been to Latin America. Like Mexico. Been to the Caribbean. And, you know, I traveled over to the United States also. And now as far as being a person going overseas, buying property, or getting land, as a matter of fact, it's getting land, acquiring land. There's opportunities over there that you may be open to for anybody who's living in the United States. African-American going back to the homeland, that's a good possibility. They can have opportunity over there to control land and have something over there besides gives them another alternative, something more than what you didn't have. So you get an opportunity to go over there, learn some culture, and learn about yourself. So that's where we come into play. And the economic development over there, you could do some services, things that you may do here that you could bring over there and enhance.
Now, Jim, why do you suppose African-Americans are fretful about going abroad and utilizing these great opportunities? What do you think could be the number one reason for holding them back?
Okay, well, maybe one of the reasons is they used to living here, and it's like you've been in a place before a long time, and you just get used to it, and you don't, your mind is closed, and you don't say, well, I'm going over somewhere over the world, so I'm going to stay right here. This is the only world I know, and I'm comfortable in the comfort zone. So you got to get out your comfort zone. So and that goes into every aspect. When you're in a job, you don't want to go into that business. You want to stay in your comfort zone. I'm comfortable where people are comfortable with no change.
Okay, Jim, let's talk a little bit about the motherland and the untapped resources that are there right now. The reason why I chose West Africa, because it is a little rough area and it's untapped. And this is where some of our platinum gold is being made, and our diamonds, the blood diamonds. So I did an article on West Africa and how some of the actual people there are working in the mines, making all of this platinum. I mean, tons of this gold and rich material, and they are being paid less wages. They're also not able to feed their families. They're living from hand to mouth, but yet they're producing one of the most richest resources in the world, platinum. And they are crying out, asking for our support if we will write articles to petition against this inappropriate behavior that some of our arch enemies are going over there inducing on these people who are in their own country. Mm-hmm. So tourism has not been really tapped into. They're just trying to get into the point where they're roughing out these areas for us to be able to come and travel. So tell me, what do you think about the geographical areas for tourism in Africa? Which would be a landmark that we should look towards going to?
A landmark is in terms of any in just a particular country, the West Africa, as you say?
Yes, the tourism. Mm-hmm.
I know
the one I'd like to go to in Nigeria, in Abuja, which is the capital of Nigeria, but in West Africa, untapped land that's not actually cultivated that we could get involved in.
Well, I would say that we could be tapping into the various aspects of West Africa, Angola. I mean, there could be a number of places that we could see. I mean, I don't think there could be a limit to the Warner area. And we can just go and see, you know, we can tap into those areas that if they got those areas that for us to see or to go into have land available, I mean, that would be a great opportunity.
Are you familiar with Belize actually made an apology to the African Americans about slavery? And Belize has now joined in with the other countries like Ghana, and they've actually made a commitment to offer, give so much land away to African Americans for making the transition.
Right?
Yes. And Belize is just right outside of our back door. It's a relatively close country to us, and they speak English there in Belize, and their banks are solvent. Are you familiar with anybody traveling to Belize?
Oh, I heard something on the talk show on the radio the other day about Belize. The guy that this was a white American was going over there. He said he's moving over there now. He says because of the land and then you can live, it's cheaper than to live over there, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're pushing for teachers to go. I know that they have a trip coming up that there's an actual tourist organization here that has been there for quite a while. And they do El Salvador and Belize.
El Salvador. Mm-hmm.
And Costa Rica.
Honduras.
And they've been pushing, they're really pushing for people to learn about Belize because they're an English-speaking country and the land and the weather is so good there. And the property is very cheap, and your bank, the banks are solvent, so your money goes a long way because the people are very poor. And
mm-hmm.
I saw fit to even talk about this topic because I know African Americans are always saying, I'm fed up, I'm tired of the taxes. And one thing that they can look forward to, if they live abroad and have dual citizenship, there's a way that they allow you to come into the country and be considered
mm-hmm.
still a working tourist, or a retired tourist, and you don't have to pay the taxes. And that's something
right.
great that you can save. Can
right.
you talk
so
a little
benefits.
Bit about that?
Okay, well, like you said, dual citizenship. Somebody can become a tourist, an official tourist at a given country such as Belize or Honduras, Costa Rica, or West Africa, and they can get their citizenship, and then they can save on their taxes by having some land and what you're telling me and what I know, what you're saying is that they can live there and they come back and still obtain their dual citizenship too.
Right. I think they,
right.
From what I understand with Belize, you only have to be there 1 month out of the year. And that means you could buy property, lease it out, and they have management agencies such as you are like a real estate agent, and they actually allow them to find placement for their apartments or their townhouses, and they rent them out and come back home, and then when they need to go there, they go back, you know, and they make
okay.
a profit.
Right. And that sounds like a flexible program, is it, you know, that's available for people. But, you know, people got to be willing to take a chance or do that, you know.
What are some of the problems you think that might be one of the contraindications, like, not having rough plumbing, electricity. Do you think those may be some things that will turn our people around?
Well, you're talking about over in those areas, because those countries, sometimes they may have, I don't know, you know, specifically, but they may have, they could have a problem. They don't know if they're as efficient as they are over here. So people may, that's why people may not look like, oh, I'm going somewhere that I don't know about. You know, is it water safe, or they have plumbing issues, or they, you know. So those are things that people have in the back of their head where they'd be reluctant to, you know, try this out. But again, if you're only trying it out for 2 or 3 months, you could see it for 2 or 3 months, and you know that's an experience. You gain some experience of doing something different, and that's why if it's an opportunity like that, I would be suggested to be encouraged to do something like that.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about your next adventure and experience? I understand you're getting ready to do some real estate work abroad. Tell us a little bit about what your plans are for the real estate world.
Oh, well, my plans right now in real estate, we're looking at local and outside the state of, you know, outside different states of properties, because there are properties available right now where you can, they're cheap, and this is the best opportunity right now to even take control of them. You don't necessarily have to buy these properties, but get access to control them. And get control where you can have, where you can make a profit off of them, or and you can rent a property out or lease or get in one. So that's the opportunities right now in real estate, because right now the market, you can get properties real cheap right now, and you can try to take control of them. Some of them you don't have to have credit, bad credit. You can try to get with a partner. I'm trying to get some partners with who can partner up with me or whoever, and you can maybe take control of these properties without coming out, you know, with a lot of money.
Now, when you say control, the terminology might pose a problem for our listening audience. For the benefit of them, we want to define what that word control is. And
yeah.
Can you also elaborate on, if you're a 501(c), do you have access to bid on these houses and have first preferential treatment?
Okay, when we say control, when we say control, we're basically saying that you can have access to taking a title of a property with either an assignment, you can take it over, and other ways instead of just buying it through a traditional way of a mortgage. You can
so you don't
actually,
have to go to the bank.
Right, you can, or be a private, or a private person can just transfer you a quick deed or transfer the title to you, and that way
or
you can have access to the property.
Or a land contract. That's an option.
Or a land contract, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even for
503C. Tell us a little bit about the land contract when you get the chance.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, like you said, we got a 503C. You can set up as an organization, as an executive or a director, you can set up where you can maybe have somebody, if you know with a network, they can title over you a property where you can use this for your program or that way. And then the land contract would be a way, too, where you can take control. And it's in the, you have to have a land contract written up, and as you as the person who is buying it, and the time period of what is expected in the guidelines for that land contract to be executed, which could be 18 months, 2 years, where you can basically take over the property and then actually you can sell it within that time period or keep it. Okay.
Can you also elaborate a little bit on now there, at one time when you got property, you had so much time to repair it, and you had to get the loan your own. Now there's a, I think it's a 229 loan. It's like a jumbo loan where if you buy property that needs refurbishing, you can take out that loan to repair, to do all the repairs. Can you talk a little bit about that loan? It's a jumbo loan.
Okay. Well, I'm told about that jumbo loan. The person is getting a loan specifically for, like, repairs. And that loan is like a short-term loan. It could be for, let's say they get a no-interest loan for like 6 months, and then they get the money for the repairs. And after that 6 months, they get like a balloon note to pay it off. And then once they get that, they even have, what they're doing is basically trying to get, in that time period, they're trying to either sell the property off, and once they sell that property off, they're paying off that loan. It's like a loan for repairs. It's like a $20,000-$10,000. It's not like an absorbent loan. It's a loan for a short term. And then
now, you said it's an arm
on
it. You're talking about an arm, so it actually will adjust over a period of time. So you've got to know that you can repair that house
right.
in a certain amount of time and turn it over
right.
and sell it.
Right, because if it's a jumbo, like you said, if it's an arm, then that's a loan where you got a time period, 1 or 2 years, want a fixed rate, and you hopefully you're fixing that property up and getting it rented out by that before that arm of justice, or sell the property
again,
before that arm of justice.
Isn't that what that's one of the problems that the market had? They were actually selling people hope, giving them adjustables when they knew that these loans would be far too large once they adjust, and they would be out of their reach, and their income to debt ratio would be out of balance. And they knew this prior to actually selling this property. And what's happening now, Jim, I want to talk a little bit about those 16 banks who were now, they were actually, they settled in court, and they were found guilty with misconduct. And that meant they were actually giving out loans to people who were not eligible because of the debt-to-income ratio. They could never be eligible, but they gave them the loans anyway, knowing that once those loans adjust, that they would end up have to foreclose. So they've done a lot of false foreclosing, and literally it's illegal to bundle up mortgages and sell them by the bundle when you don't have a deed and you don't know who has ownership, and you don't have that actual receipt of deed to show who owns it. So they were bringing in some upfront mortgage companies who were rubber stamping all the documentation. And that's what happened when they went to court. They saw that there was, I won't mention the name, but there were several names of boilerplate rubber stamps. And that's what drew the attention to the courts. So the courts found them guilty of misconduct. And this is the second largest payout for settlement since the tobacco settlement, from what I understand. And there's many people out there right now who are eligible who might not know anything about it. The settlement has actually gone forward, and claims are available if you wanted to place a claim. If you've lost your house through misconduct of short sales, say, for example, you were told you were being put in a modification, and at one time you were eligible, then all of a sudden they lost your documents, or you never went through the modification, or if they forced you to go into a short sale, which is also called the HOPA program, which is a government short sale. Then if you didn't make that deadline by a certain time, because it could only allow you so many days to have it on the market, then you would agree to sign papers to say that I will give my house over like a deed in lieu of, so you just hand the keys back over, and then they would actually set up a situation where you would sign papers saying that you would turn the keys back over, and they would give you a small amount between $2,000. Now I've understood they've upped it to $5,000, and then you hand your house over to them. Now, this is a highway robbery.
Is this what you call it? They pay for your move-out expenses, you're saying?
Yes, it'd be almost just enough to get you to relocate. So in other words, they knew that they could sell these houses for pennies on a dollar, so they thought they would stockpile them and have them later to sell. So in other words, they were ripping people off. And large amounts of people who are out of their homes now are eligible for this settlement and need to file. They need to go online and look up the settlement. I couldn't hear you.
What's the website address or what the information? Where you can
look
that up?
They can go up under the 16 banks that were the 16 banks that were sued, and based on the outcome of the settlement, look for settlement for candidates who lost their home through default of foreclosure. And a large amount of people went and fought. The people made this necessary. But at the same time, it should be talked about, because there's a lot of people who are sitting outside right now don't realize they're subject to be a recipient of a settlement.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Now, I have a question, Jim. Let's get back towards this tourism. What are some of the other amenities that a person could look forward to receiving other than having sabbatical and enjoying the vacation? Because this truly would be a vacation if you owned a home across the water and back here stateside. And you don't have to do it forever and ever and amen. You can go and do it during the bad seasons. Talk a little bit about the benefits of going abroad and living in other parts of the world.
Well, benefits that go abroad are like, one, you're getting a cultural experience. It could be phenomenal. Two, you're getting a chance to get good in another climatic adaptation, because you're going somewhere warm. Like if you're going to Africa, you're going somewhere in the motherland where you're feeling, you got a warm environment, climate. It may be even better for your atmosphere for where you are right now in terms of the environment, the plants and the nature that's still there. Because those areas, like even in, like in South America or in Belize, they have the same effect. They have the same type of tropical effect over there, too.
Well, what about the people who are upside down in their houses and just walking out, leaving the keys on a table where they have to start over anyway? Wouldn't it be a good idea to look at planning this thing out before you leave your keys on the doorway and walk away? You might want to try to negotiate with the person mm-hmm. who's going to come in and buy your house. Maybe you might want to get your family together and go out there and bid on your own house and buy that house back and at least rent it out to some family members and just pay the taxes on it, because land is very important, and it's important
mm-hmm.
that we should be tied to land base and have tax write-offs, wouldn't you say?
Right. I believe it, absolutely. And like you said, the person is getting a notice of a foreclosure, they should check in. They always can talk to the bank. They can talk to the bank till they go, you know, just keep talking to them. You can't make the payment. And sometimes the bank will hold, you know, they'll just let you go forward and put you in like what they call it, the forbearance, or where they can give you like a grace period of 3 or 4 months. And then they can just build some time up. You can't make your payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can basically give you some time, whether you want to get somebody to buy, put the house on the market, or get a short sale that you can get a private, somebody privately, either buy the house back and you can rent it out or rent somebody else.
That's a good point. They can buy the house and they take ownership of it and reduce the house down where it becomes affordable for you to rent from them. It's like you rent
like
in your own house, but you don't have the foreclosure that goes on your record.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it works in your favor if you can execute the deal. If you can get a private person to buy the property and they rent it out to you, and you get in the property, let's say the house is $100,000, they short sell it for $30,000. Now they get it for $30,000, and they private finance it for $60,000, and you down your payment almost 200%. And now you're in the house renting it out, and you can buy it in 5 or 10 years. With a private ownership, with a private bank.
And that's the way to go, because, see, that house may have depreciated and you've got all those fees in there. Here you're eliminating your fees and you're getting someone to short sell it at a price that is much lower. And you might have to build your equity back up in there, but at least you could actually rent that with option to buy and see yourself ultimately paying it off in a shorter length of time.
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't understand. They're like, I'm not giving my house to anyone. You're not giving it to anyone. You are doing something in deed of lieu of, so that you don't end up having the foreclosure on your record, because
mm-hmm.
that's harder to remove. However, what the banks are doing now in a settlement, they're allowing all of those banks are allowing you to come back and ask if you can do a refinancing, or you can do a short sale, which is a HAFA, or you can actually come back and do a modification. They must offer this to you and walk you through it now. They are begging people, here, take this, fill it out. Now, I don't know how sincere they are, because that would be an oxymoron for them to have actually discriminated against you. Now they're going to come back and be honorable. So I think that they need a neutral party that's going to stand in that position to hand out those forms so that everything is done properly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
exactly.
What we're running into is that you've already caught them with their pants down. Now, you know, they're going to tell you my pants are not down the whole time. So they, you know, so what makes you think they're going to be honorable now and patronize the people?
Right.
They were making money. And it's
right.
been a mass thing, Jim. I mean, a serious thing. And we don't even hear about it on the news, and people are sitting outside don't realize that one of the other options, there's a little echo on your phone. Do you know where that's coming from?
Hold up. I got it on speaker.
You want to take it off the speaker. The other thing is some of the people are finding out that if they go full course and accept the settlement, they are still able to go outside of the settlement and file their claim against the banks independently, and they can go for free and clear deeds, meaning that they will get their houses paid off free and clear and get the titles and deeds to their house for this mishap that the banks have caused them, and any type of documentation you can show where you were damaged. Say, for example, you could not get a loan for your house because you were upside down and there was no equity, and that damaged you from getting refinanced. And if you can show that, that amount of money you can put on your claim to say that you were damaged, that amount. And mm-hmm. at that particular point, your lawyer could go for a free and clear deed, meaning you can walk away from the situation having the deeds to your home. Now, if the house is already gone, now they even have the option of giving you a flat fee of monies that they want to give those people who have lost their home. If you've gone through the resale of the house and they've actually put you out and the sheriff has served you, you're still in good shape. For those of you out there, why don't you look up on the Internet and find out you're still in good shape, because you can get some help, and help is available, and they've made it available. And more talk shows should be talking about what to do about all these houses that are laid up, and is there any recourse for these victims who are outside of their homes looking in. Now, I'm going to have Jim come back and tell us a little bit more about workshops, seminars that are out there that can help people to better understand what rights they have. Jim, can you tell us what's going on out in Wing about workshops and seminars?
Well, as far as workshops going on right now, I don't know to say exactly when they're having some, but, you know, they're out there. Like, I know even banks are having, you know, they go to libraries and offer self-help about education on when you're buying a house and what to look for in terms of, you know, predatory lenders. That type of thing. It's basically a rebrushing of what you're just saying right now.
But
as far
as online, what about online, Jim? Are there any online self modules that people can
actually
go online?
Yeah, you can go on Google. Just go on Google, and you will hit information on, you know, people who lost their homes, and go to, like you said, the 16 banks, or you can hit up if you lost your home, what to do. Could you get us to file a suit, or have you been in that situation? Because there's a lot of people who out there don't know that they can be eligible, because even these banks now, when these properties got lost, they're even, the people like you were filing taxes, they like people who are filing taxes, the bank people who are doing your taxes, they like, well, hell, what happened to the bank? How come this governor ain't chasing you after you? So basically, they're writing the loans off and giving the people, clearing them from the loan.
Oh, really?
And just say, okay, well, yeah, let's say you got a $92,000 house. They say, well, he lost the house through foreclosure, even the income property. And they just basically but the problem is you get it on the taxes, though. They basically vote
you
off.
So you get a chance to write this debt off as a tax write-off?
No, that's the problem. The banks are writing it off, giving you the income as if you have. That's the problem. They're writing it off.
Oh, so they get to write it off, and you don't have the actual product, so you don't. It's almost like they give you a 1099, but you never got paid.
Exactly, and you're getting stuck with the value of the house, but you don't have the house or the value. Right, you don't get none of the.
This must have been planned, Jim, a long time ago, because they figured if they took your house, then even if they didn't have a buyer, if they lay them up for a while and they can sell them for pennies on the dollar, they were going to always rack up off of you, and they could get the write-off. So they planned this.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be planned, because all of this happened all of a sudden in every state. It wasn't just in one state where they were having this misconduct. It happened all over. And it was rampant, and they were taking your escrow money because they had the 3-month trial period, and they were asking people to pay astronomical amounts of extra money for escrow, for your taxes, for your home, for your association fee, and your insurance, and those extra dollars you didn't have, and you were putting them into escrow to pay these bills, And it turned out when your mortgage was sold, you were no longer in the modification, and then all your escrow money is gone. So that's a damage. You're damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of you
right.
out there have had that to happen, Tim, is there a phone number you'd like to give out to any of the people that might want to call you to inquire about making homes affordable? We haven't had a chance to talk about making homes affordable, but that's a program that's out there that will be willing to try to catch you up on your outstanding debt. And they will give that money to your mortgage company up to a certain point. However, the mortgage companies will not accept it unless it's a full amount. Now, how is it that they could turn their back on money? So they must have a plan. But it's unfortunate because none of this is being talked about, and it's hit the African-American communities the most. And here in Indiana, where most of the homeowners, they do not rent, they purchase homes. The largest purchasing power here, homes in Indiana, have been hit the hardest, and most of them are walking around desolate and don't know that they're entitled to a settlement or don't know that they have recourse. Well, I say get together and fight and find out if you can get a lawyer. Spend your last dollar to get a lawyer to represent you, because the lawyers want to take these cases. They're looking for you, and they're calling you up saying, I can take your case. I can get your home back or get you a settlement on what you lost. It's very important. You have fought your life, and your parents have left you homes back here, and right now people are saying, I'll never get a home again, as if they did something wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. You did something morally right. It was somebody that had misconduct that demonstrated inappropriate behavior and started to boiler, rubber stamp these documents and selling these mortgages by the bundles, because they became a commodity. They were like the newest thing called gold. And unfortunately,
right.
we are hurting because of it. I'm going to ask Jim to come back and to give us a solution to this problem. And how could
okay.
we have avoided it?
Or I didn't quite hear you. What did you just say?
How could we have avoided that major catastrophe? And give us a solution for what we need to do in the future.
Well, what I could say, what avoided the catastrophe was greed. You know, this is where they were qualifying people who weren't qualified. They was inflating the values of these houses. So now that after houses now don't even have a value. You get a $300,000 house that you bought in 2005 or 2006. Now that house is worth $80,000, $100,000. That's how people have seen that type of fluctuation. So the money doesn't mean anything, the appreciation. So what the best thing is to do is to buy a house. You're buying a house almost where you can buy it really affordable. In other words, you don't sit there and buy a $300,000 house. I don't care if it's worth $300,000. You're buying a $100,000, $80,000 house. Something that you, or you're buying something you can pay off in 10 years, not something for 40, 50 years. 60 years.
Now,
they
can
got
you
these
give your phone number
now.
Or your email? Can you give your email?
Yeah, they can get my phone number, and I can, because right now I don't have exactly phone number, because I can tell you
okay,
the
well, give, well, give
information.
Okay, well, give your email. Give your email to them so they can.
I can give my email address. My email address
okay.
is AJ Insurance, I-N-S-U-R-A-N-C-E, Service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, that's the number 7, at yahoo.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Jim, and you're welcome to come back on the show, because this is something that needs more time than what we have to give to talk about, and I think most people should be very upset about now, and they are going to look for a solution. And I don't want you to be angry about it. I want you to not just get mad, but just get even. And on this song that we're about to play, it's going to talk about being mad about something. And we'll see you on tomorrow.
I'm mad at the way she loves me, and I'm mad at the way she cares. I'm mad at the way she touched me, at the way that she combed my hair. I'd be lying if I said I didn't mean a thing. I'd be lying if I say I didn't care. I'd be lying if I say I didn't love her. I'm still here. I'm still. I'm mad at the way she loved me. And I'm mad at the time we spent. I'm mad about our conversation. Damn, I'm mad about everything. I've been lying.